Welcome to episode number 33 of the Beards and Ball Dust podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and we have Aiden.
Hello.
Good morning. Good evening. Good
Where afternoon. Do we come up with that name? I just thought, like, what does it mean?
I don't know. It's just the name I came up with, because I've got a beard.
But I don't have a beard.
And it's mainly ball dust. I don't know.
Where's ball dust?
I don't know. It's just the name I came up with.
Oh.
Because ball dust is an old term, old phrase. Talking shit.
Oh. Like bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But before people were so, you know, before they were a little bit more go to church on Sundays than they are now, so they didn't want to say shit.
Oh.
So they call it bulldust.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the name I came up with. So.
Well, I better get a beard, otherwise, you know, it won't make sense.
Yeah, you'll be misrepresenting something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You'll grow one eventually.
Hopefully.
You probably start working on cars.
Yeah.
Your testosterone will go through the roof.
You'll
grow a bit. Okay, on to what's been happening this week. So another short week for us this week. We had Labor Day on Monday, which basically means a lot of people just sat around and did nothing.
I don't even know what it's for, to be honest.
Oh, it's meant to be, depending on who you ask, it's meant to be a celebration or recognition of workers. It came out many, many years ago. Our date comes from pretty well when they started pushing for an 8-hour work day. Get that correct. And from that sort of came Labor Day. And recognition of workers, and it's something that's celebrated all around the world. Unfortunately, in most parts of Soviet Russia, it's a celebration of communism. And through some of the stuff we'll talk about this week in Australian Prime Minister's bit, there was a very big, fear factory happening around communism in sort of the late 40s through the 50s.
Yeah.
And people thought that May Day, or the first of June, was just a celebration of Communist Day. And that came about from views and people's thoughts on communism and stuff. First of May. So May Day, which is the 1st of May.
They have a whole day for just the 1st of May.
Well, every day has a whole day. But the 1st of May was, in some other countries, called May Day. And it is our Labor Day, so it is the celebration of workers and,
right,
you know, the contributions of workers and stuff like that. And in communist parts, it's a celebration of, you know, the working ethic of communism, because communism is based on people working their ass off for everyone else's gain.
Yeah.
It's communism. So that's where the history of it in Australia is a little bit different than the history of it in other countries, but people like to align things, and they think, just because the Soviets celebrated on the same day we do, then it must be communism. But they don't realise there's a whole stack load of other countries that also do the same thing, who aren't communists. But anyway, that's where it sort of came from. Anything from you exciting?
Not really. School's got I always forget the name. Work experience.
Work experience. Yeah.
Happening in like 6 weeks or something. And I applied at a mechanic, so
yep,
I'll be working as a mechanic,
yeah,
type thing for,
yep,
4 days.
Yep. You'll be learning how to go to the gut truck and order dim sims and pasties and soft drink.
Yeah.
That's all I know about mechanics.
Wow.
They like their dimmies. That's all I know. Worked mechanics, but with mechanics before, and they all like their dimmies. Anyway, on to some car news. So April's car sales have been released. Car sales are down by 12%.
That's a lot, to be honest.
That's a lot in the course of a month. That's a lot. Down about 3% over the course of the year, but 12% in April is huge. Ford is down by 30%.
Well, no, people aren't getting their Ford Pumas.
Yeah. You know how far Holden went down on their sales figures?
The 100?
They weren't even on it.
Yeah.
They didn't sell any.
They're not a company anymore.
Yeah.
They didn't sell any.
But even Chevrolet, even the good old Chevrolet, brand sold 180 cars.
That's a lot, to be honest. I didn't even know Chevy sold here.
Yeah. They sold quite a fair few. Not as many as like Toyota, you know, Nissan, Hyundai, Mitsubishi. They are the ones that sort of dominated the top figures and saw growth.
Boring NPC cars.
Yep. Everything else went down the freaking drain. There were some that had appalling figures. Although I think 7 people brought Lamborghinis.
Wow, they're up by like 73%.
Yeah. And one person brought an Alpine. I think by accident. But one person brought an Alpine in April. So that gives them a sales figure total of 1.
Wow.
Yeah. That'd be the salesman who got that. You'd be salesperson of the year at Alpine because you sold 1 car in April.
Where's their dealership?
I don't know. I don't even know who actually... what banner they fall under, or where you would actually get one. I don't know. I reckon it's someone who's ordered one by accident, thought it was something else.
Probably you just got it secondhand, and they've decided to put it on their figures for sales.
Yeah, it's been sitting in the lot for about 5 years. It's probably like a 2016 model or something.
Yeah,
and it's like demo model sitting in the car in the showroom. They finally got rid of it. In other car news. Labor have announced as part of their election campaign thingy that they're going to put more funding into electric vehicles.
Wonderful. I'm not voting for them.
They're also going to put funding into hydrogen infrastructure for trucks, which is great because hydrogen for trucks is one thing that's coming along really, really quickly in Europe. It isn't really coming along quickly in Australia. It's a sort of like build it and they will come scenario. So he's thinking we'll build all the infrastructure so trucks can run on hydrogen, and all the trucking companies will just switch over to hydrogen. It's not that simple. Someone needs to go and explain mechanics to the man. But anyway, that's...
Can
that's
they make hydrogen cars?
Yes. Yeah, they can. And they have. I've driven a hydrogen car.
Why don't they make more of those then?
Hydrogen in cars is a lot... hydrogen in any car is difficult, or any vehicle is difficult.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more viable when you scale it up to trucks. It's a little bit less viable when you scale it down to cars.
Oh.
Mainly because the tank to hold hydrogen has to be quite big and heavy. And when you got it on something that's already big and heavy, it's not quite so much. But when you try and stick a hydrogen tank in the back of a hatchback, you need to put Land Rover springs and shit in the back of your hatchback to hold the back up because they're quite heavy. So anyway, that's their plan. That's what they're going to pledge. I think they're going to... The current funding commitment for all of that is like $250 million. They're going to make it $500 million, which seems like a big number, but it's not when you look at what they've got to do. Like $500 million will put a sign up compared to what they've got to do. So anyway, it's a step in the direction, I suppose. Great Wall have also started testing their biggest of big SUVs in Australia.
Wow, I can't wait to get one of those.
Well, you might when you hear the name of it. It's called the King Kong Cannon.
King Kong Cannon?
Yep.
Fucking hell.
So it's named after King Kong's old chap, because that's what it's just going to be. It's just going to be like King Kong's donger. Like, it's just going to be his cannon. that's the name of it, King Kong's Cannon.
Where the fuck are they coming up with these names?
I don't know. The car itself, the pictures I saw of the ones that are for sale in like China, which might not be the ones we get. It's the front of it's fucking huge. It's like it's made of Lego. It's massive.
I gotta respect it though, because you know you got shitty names like Kona and I don't know. Camry.
Yeah.
This is King Kong's fucking cannon.
Yeah, and I reckon they probably just had a meeting and go, what do Western people like? They like the King Kong. They like guns. Let's call it King Kong's cannon.
King Kong cannon. It rolls off the tongue really well.
It's a nice rhyming name. Like, I sort of like it in a way. It's weird.
So yeah, is it just... The big, like, looks almost like a Hilux.
Yeah, almost like a Hilux. The tail lights are almost stolen from a Hilux. They probably are stolen from a Hilux. Like, literally, they're probably just like found. There's just Hiluxes rolling around China that don't have tail lights in them anymore because they've just stolen them.
I reckon the grill On the new ones are better.
Yeah, on the new ones are better.
I still don't like the massive badge.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking Google Maps thing.
It's going to have, I think, like a four-cylinder engine that's going to give about 130 kilowatts.
Wow.
The car's probably going to weigh freaking 3 tons.
So it's just a Hilux.
It's just a Hilux. Anyway, they're testing it in Australia. So if you see a big massive thing walking around or driving around and it's like looking like it's trying to climb a building, that's probably Great Wall testing their King Kong cannon.
Yeah.
So...
It just sounds like you're talking about King Kong's penis.
I know. It's just... That's what's going to happen when they release that thing in Australia.
I think they got lost in translation, and they meant it to be called something else, but now they've just accidentally named it this.
Yeah. They've accidentally given it a euphemism for King Kong's old chap.
Like, how do you do an ad for that? It's like, the brand new King Kong's cannon.
I don't know. King Kong swinging around, whacking into buildings with his dong? I don't know.
It sounds so ridiculous.
Just, like, I don't know. I don't know where you go with that. You'd even have to get, like, personalised number plates. You would.
Yeah.
And a picture of King Kong or something you put on it. Like, you just have to. Anyway, we'll see how many people get really excited about going and buying King Kong's cannon.
Such a crazy name, but then it's the most boring-looking thing ever.
Yeah, it's just a box. It's just a very big box. On to a tiny bit of gaming news. A neuroscientist in Europe has trained rats to play Doom.
Oh, jeez. What?
Yeah. He trained them. He was wanting to prove that rats are really smart and intelligent and are capable of complex thought. So he has been training them. They can currently walk down hallways and go past some obstacles. He's currently training them how to actually select weapons.
Very soon the rats are going to start like tearing and shooting through like demons and shit.
Yep. So I actually can't wait for him to train them to play Gran Turismo. That way when you go into Gran Turismo Sport, you can race against rats instead of those stupid little 6-year-olds.
Wow.
Because I reckon a rat would probably be much fairer on the racing.
Maybe.
Yeah, and not just floor it all the way down the straight and not hit the brakes and take out all the cars in front of them. And stuff like that. But anyway, that's where he's up to. So I'll follow along with his antics. And if he actually gets them to beat Doom, then we're all fucking screwed. On to some election news. Some of the stuff that's become very interesting lately is the interaction with media and the political leaders. So media are getting quite pushy and they want stories and they want controversy and drama to sell whoever the fuck buys newspapers anymore. But they need these big stories, and they're really starting to push the politicians to, you know, start arguing with them each other and talking shit, which they're starting to do, especially ScoMo, because ScoMo will. He likes the smack talk. So that's becoming a bit of an issue, and the politicians are really struggling to deal with that. So that'll be interesting over the next little while.
I saw a video of, I think it's old now, but ScoMo, this Asian woman came up to him and said, hi, how are you doing? And he's like, Ni, how are you? And then she was like, I'm Korean.
Yeah. It's just sometimes they just don't get it right, and it's in those circumstances you just want them to say nothing. Like his poor people behind him, all his advisors and stuff would just be going, oh, for fuck's sake! Someone's now got to do fucking clean up on that. In other news, in the election campaign, in some electorates, someone has been going around changing the posters. So you see the posters on the side of the road and stuff. You probably don't, but they're there.
Yeah.
Big election posters, people's picture on them, the group they're representing. Someone's going around and changing it and putting stickers over the top of the group they're representing. So they're going around to Liberal and Labor candidates and changing it all so it looks like they're Greens candidates.
What are the Greens?
The Greens are like, the Greens are your alternative party, right? They did start out as, you know, being more environmental and focusing on the environment, climate change and stuff like that. They're now, you know, they represent your minorities, your more diverse candidates and stuff like that, like the gay communities and things like that. So they're sort of a broad alternative political party.
Yeah.
They're sort of probably about number four in the size of things, probably a bit behind Nationals. So they always have members in Parliament. They always manage to get two or three in Parliament.
Yeah.
But not big enough to actually be a controlling party because they never have enough candidates to do that. And they never get the numbers. But it's quite a big crime.
Oh.
There's laws against it.
Yeah.
So if they find them, they could actually face like jail.
Uh-huh.
For doing it. Don't know who's doing it because they're swapping them all around. So it's not like they're disadvantaging one. They're just going around just fucking with it all and putting different slogans up and shit.
Oh, no, I don't remember going for these guys. What?
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
I remember that guy. He called me a jackass on his poster. Anyway, so that's where the election news is up to. It isn't really going along very far. Mr. Albanese is still recovering from the Rona. They're over in Western Australia at the moment doing their things. So we'll see how that continues. I've got 2 weeks to go, though. So they're getting near the end. They're almost at the point of anything intelligent they're going to say, they've said it. And anything stupid they're going to do, they've probably done it. So it'll sort of hopefully wind down from here. But you never know. ScoMo may try and go and build a fucking ship or something and do something stupid. I don't know. You never know with him.
Why can't we have any of these shit prime ministers swim out into an ocean and get lost?
Well, yeah, that happened to one.
And he wasn't even that bad.
No. Harold Holt wasn't that bad at all.
Why can't ScoMo just go for a swim and not come back?
Well, he tried to. He tried to go on holiday. Someone made him come back. He would have been still sitting on the beach in Hawaii. Anyway, we'll see. It's going to be an odd election no matter what. On to tips for young bucks. So given that the day we're recording this today is Mother's Day. Hopefully you all got up and cooked your mother breakfast. Hopefully most of you got them presents. Aiden, do you know what we got your mum for Mother's Day?
Huh?
Do you know what we got your mum for Mother's Day?
No.
The big monstera plant.
Oh.
We went out and brought yesterday.
I wasn't there.
No, because you were still waking up from being asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good contribution. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it is Mother's Day today. So some of my tips for young bucks is talking about mothers. So there's a few points I want to bring up because there's a lot of things as a younger person you really don't. It's not you don't understand. It's just it's not on your radar to actually be aware of or anything like that. So some things to be aware of when you think about your mother, right, is when they brought you into this world, it wasn't easy. They had to go through quite a lot of changes to their body, quite a lot of changes to their health, quite a lot of changes to everything. And a lot of those things remain as an effect on them for their entire adult life. Like, you know, having kids as a, you know, having kids, the person who has kids, I won't say as a female because only females can have kids, but it has impacts on the body.
Yeah.
That sort of don't go away. So you don't really need to do anything about it. Just be mindful that, you know, sometimes things aren't easy for them. Mothers also have a bit of a struggle sometimes. They'll have struggles with their want, their need to nurture and, you know, to show affection and stuff like that, but also allow you to develop and mature. Right? No mother wants her kids to grow up. Right. Yeah. None do. They want them to stay little and stay young. That's what mums want. They want their kids. As you mature, you start to go your own way, and that's natural, and that's going to happen, and that's fine. But it's still a struggle for a mum.
Yeah.
It's still something that they do struggle with from time to time, and you know there's really not much we can do about it other than understand that if you're all excited to move out, they're probably not quite so much.
Yeah.
So just try and balance that. A third point is sometimes a really small gesture goes a long way. Mums don't need a lot in recognition. They like a lot in recognition and they should get a lot. But small gestures make a big difference to mums. And even you don't even need to wait for Mother's Day, you know, to do something nice for them and to buy them something or give them something or whatever. At any time, you should be able to give a small gesture and that'll be greatly appreciated by your mother. And finally, be kind.
Yeah.
You don't need to get along with your mother all the time. I haven't with my mum in periods of time. Right? But you still be kind.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to be an absolute ass. You can still have boundaries, you can still have respectable boundaries, but you still need to be kind. So those are my tips for young bucks for dealing with your mum. So short and all of it is, they did a lot for you, so don't be an ass.
Yeah.
That's simple terms. Right. On to my stoic quote. So I had to find another one because we haven't had one for a while, so I got another quote from Epictetus.
Epictetus.
Because we like Epictetus. And his quote is this: "He who laughs at himself never runs out of things to laugh at."
Silence. Oh, what?
So he who laughs at himself never runs out of things to laugh at.
What if I, like, just stop laughing at myself?
Well, then you've run out of things to laugh at because you're no longer funny. I don't know. It's all around not taking yourself seriously.
Yeah.
Right, having the ability to laugh at yourself, laugh at your own stuff-ups, not your really big ones, just little ones. And if you continue to do that, then, you know, you'll never run out of things to laugh at. You should always be comfortable in yourself and not take yourself so seriously because you'll laugh at yourself from time to time.
Yeah.
I do, because I end up hurting myself, I think, nearly every week. I'm either burnt, cut, bleeding or something. My own doing.
Yeah.
So I have to laugh at myself sometimes. So that is the simplicity of Epictetus' quote. Thank you, Epictetus.
Pretty funny name.
I know. I don't think he was thinking it when he named himself that.
Did he name himself that?
Well, himself or his parents or whoever. Because they all had names that were really odd like that. But that one is just, you know, it's like an epic name.
It's pretty epic,
yeah. It's pretty epic, yeah. Yeah. And if you say it too fast, the E in the middle becomes an I, and it no longer becomes Epictetus.
Epictetus.
See?
Epictetus.
Yeah.
Epictetus.
It sounds like you're, like, Kiwi or something.
Epictetus.
Oh, man. I don't think he was expecting that to ever happen with his name. But anyway, it has, and it won't be the last time. Rightio. Cruise along pretty well today, which is good. Moving on to the second term of Sir Robert Menzies. The term that I was meant to do last week.
But instead, but I just...
I screwed it up, so instead Aiden went on a 45-minute rant.
Yeah.
So this time I'm organised, so Aiden can only do a 20-minute rant.
Ah, damn.
So this is the second term of Robert Menzies. This is when he returned to power in December 1949. This was really leading into the height of the Cold War, communism threats, all those types of things. So one of the very first things he tried to do was introduce a bill that would ban the Communist Party.
Yeah.
So there was a Communist Party. He wanted to ban them, and he would hope this bill, this very first bill he put through, would be blocked by the Senate. Because when the election happened, he had control of the House of Representatives, but the Senate election went differently and his party didn't have control of the Senate. Labour had control of the Senate because the two houses are voted for differently. So you can end up with different parties being in control. And if you're the party in control of the House of Representatives, you also want to be the party in control of the Senate. So any law that you put forward that then goes through to the Senate has party backing, therefore goes through.
Yeah.
If you don't, you end up putting your bill forward, you write it, you do all that shit through the House of Representatives, you send it to the Senate for the Senate to vote on it for it to become a thing, and Senate block it. Now, that happens, that can happen even if you have control, but you can use it to your advantage. So that's what he tried to do. He tried to get Senate to block it and force a double dissolution. So a double dissolution is where he goes to the governor, says the government can't get along, we can't pass any laws, there's an imbalance, we need to do another election. What he didn't realize was that the Senate and the Liberals, or the Labour people, passed that and accepted that law. It was later killed in the High Court as illegal anyway, because the Constitution effectively allowed any political party to be formed. And you couldn't stop them if they were registered as a political party.
Yeah.
So it was allowed. So they put through a banking bill it was quite an extravagant banking bill. It was another one designed to force a double dissolution, and it worked. So they went back to the polls, back to election, freaking like twice in a year type shit. And they won again. The numbers varied a little bit, so they managed to get power in both the House and the Senate, which was good. They then got on with business. Early in the piece, he also carried out a referendum to try and actually get the constitution changed to give the government the power to ban a party, specifically the Communist Party or any communist-linked parties.
Yeah.
It was a very big fear, and we're fucking afraid of it, shockingly, in the early in that period of time, the early 50s. The referendum was defeated narrowly, so it didn't happen. There was other mechanisms they tried to get the party thrown out by. They didn't even think they got any people in it, but they were there. Around this time, Korea happened.
Oh, yeah.
So we're now into the early 50s. North Korea invade South Korea across the parallel, and they invade. So Australia commits troops at this time to Korea. From the RAAF, they sent the 77th Squadron. From the air, from the Navy, they sent a frigate, which was the HMAS Shoalhaven, and a destroyer, the HMAS Batten. But both of those are already in Japan when Korea happened, so they were sitting nearby anyway. The Army sent three regiments. So they sent 3 RAR first, followed by 1 RAR and 2 RAR. So they were the infantry regiments that went over, because it was a land war. It wasn't really an air war or sea or anything like that. It was a ground war, that one. That really didn't face any opposition whatsoever, sending troops.
Yeah.
Because we were going over there to fight, you know, the communist North Korea people. So everyone was very much supportive of that, go and take on those commies.
I don't really know much about the Korean War. Like, I know it was a thing, but it's not talked about as much as, like, other Cold War stuff or World War II.
Yeah, look, I don't know a great deal about the Korean War. I know why it started. Well, I know how it started, I suppose, not so much why. But I don't know much about, you know, everyone's motives for getting involved, how much and why everyone got involved, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that's a little bit unknown.
They don't talk about it in school at all, I don't think.
No, and it generally doesn't get, like, a very big mention in most things, which is quite sad. I mean, 18,000 Australians went and fought in that war.
Yeah, lots of Americans as well, I think.
Yeah, lots and lots of Americans. So there was, you know, there's a pretty big price to pay for all of that, but it doesn't really get shared quite so much. I think it's one of the ones I'm going to have to research on to understand it. Prior to the 54 election, so all that sort of stuff happened between 50 and 54, but just prior to the 54 election, Menzies announced that our Soviet diplomat had defected, and that there was a Soviet spy ring in Australia. Yes. So apparently spies in Australia from Russia. I suppose just focus on where the vodka sales are. That's where you'd probably find them. But
possibly.
They didn't. Don't know why they did it, but they didn't. So this needed to be addressed in Parliament, because Menzies accused there was Labour members who were part of this spy ring. It's a very big deal. If you're a member of Parliament or involved in government, you become a spy. Sort of one of those big things they sort of shoot you for.
Uh-huh.
So the Labour leader, Mr. Ebert, took it upon himself to announce to Parliament that he'd written to the Soviet foreign minister and was assured by the Soviet foreign minister that there was no Russian spies, Soviet spies in Australia. And he announced that to Parliament. All the Parliament stood up and went, "I wrote to him," and he said, "No, there is none." Probably said yet, but there isn't any spies. So naturally, there was silence in Parliament, briefly.
Yeah.
And you know what happened after that?
What?
They all laughed at him. All the Parliament. Everyone in there on both sides of Parliament cacked up laughing at the statement he had just made. It's like, yes, no, the Russians told me there's definitely no spies. The fuck believes the Russians? No one's ever believed Russia. ever on anything.
You know, I reckon we'll just take their word for it.
Yeah, yeah, I wrote him. He's a nice bloke. Sent me some vodka. Like, it's just, I couldn't conceive the mind of a man that would get up and go, I'm going to tell all of Parliament this and everyone's going to be more relaxed and not worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally all laughed at him in Parliament in session. I'm pretty sure it'd be noted in the notes somewhere that everyone laughed.
Yeah.
That's embarrassment as the leader of a party to have everybody, including your own people, laugh at you.
Yeah.
That's Jeez. The sort of shit you then resign from. From this, though, it started to lead to a split in the Labour Party because there was people who were very much anti-communist, but there was parts of the Labour Party that weren't, they weren't pro-communist, they weren't anti-communist. They just didn't give a crap about any of it.
Yeah.
Just completely leave it alone. So there was a split, and this caused Hughes to not only win the 54 election, but after Labour split, there was another election in 55, and he won that again. So it was a whole fucking period of just elections. This is a ridiculous amount of elections they had. Everything trundled along, and he also won it easily again in 58. So, you know, he went into office in 49. We're now 1958.
Jeez.
Cruising along. A whole stack load of other reforms. There was heaps and heaps of stuff that they put in. Some very, very critical stuff that they put in. So in 1949, they introduced legislation that allowed Aboriginal ex-servicemen to be eligible to vote. Now, prior to that, Aboriginal people at all weren't allowed or weren't eligible, more so, to vote.
Yeah, it wasn't until like the 60s.
So, yeah, so in 49, the ex-servicemen could vote. You had to be an ex-serviceman, which wasn't that many, to be honest. There were some.
Wasn't it?
There wasn't many.
Wasn't it if you joined the army as an Aboriginal, you had to like, well, it was like give up your Aboriginal heritage, like, yeah, and then you were like legally not Aboriginal anymore?
Yeah, yeah, there was something that day. Because it was what you had to swear under oath. Like swear your allegiance, I suppose, swear under oath to service.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was no part in there that allowed, you know, them to swear under oath their service to the country from, you know, cultural heritage perspective, yeah. Right? So they basically got to give it all up. Which, I mean, you know, some of them did and they returned, but, you know, some of them didn't return. They made that sacrifice. In 1962 is when all Aboriginal people became eligible to vote.
Yeah.
So that was after they did a whole stack load of fucking working groups and forums and shit and stuff like that, research and whatnot. I don't know what about. Not like it's a fucking big thing. Yeah. Should have been something that happened much earlier, but when you think about it, yeah, 1962. Took all that time before Aboriginals could actually vote or be eligible to vote.
Jeez.
Other stuff that they did was all the usual Liberal stuff. So Liberals always do a lot of social measures. They always do a lot of stuff around pensions and allowances and stuff like that. Very, very normal things that they put through. There was, you know, increases to, I think, some care pensions. They changed the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. So made an update to that. As they always do periodically, make updates to that. ScoMo's proposing another update to it and an increase in or a decrease in pharmaceutical costs. They also put in the Matrimonial Causes Act. Exciting legislation.
What?
Which the Matrimonial Causes Act is basically divorce law.
Oh.
So it's an act. It's basically a united act instead of each state having its own act around what constitutes divorce, the separation periods, all that nonsense. There was one federal law that everything was based on, and it had provisions in there for times of periods of separation that could be used as grounds for divorce. Because under some older state legislation and state laws, if two people separated, just because they had separated and been separated for a period of time wasn't grounds for divorce.
Oh.
There had to be other things. So this allowed for there to be a period of time from them being separated to come on board and go, we want to file a divorce because we've been separated for 6 months and we're not getting back together. And then it allowed for married people to get a divorce.
Yeah.
So it was quite a big change in some spots around how that worked, and the grounds for divorce. So it was pretty big for its time. In 62, he put forward funding for private schools. So there was some little freaking Catholic school somewhere that threatened to close down because the government wasn't giving them money. So it's a private school.
Aren't they supposed to fund themselves?
Well, no, they don't. And since 62, they haven't. So up until 1962, religious schools, private schools, whatever, had to be self-funded, right? You got no money from the government, absolutely zip.
Yeah.
You get it from the fucking parents that send the kids there. In 62, this little Catholic school was not getting any money from anybody. They were going to have to close, and they, you know,
boo-hoo,
moaned and groaned. So that brought some changes to public funding and allowed for private schools, including religious schools, to be partially government funded. And most of those are still that way today.
So not only do you have to pay a shit ton of money to go there, which they get money from, and they also get money from the government.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
Yep. And the downside to that is, right, is that money could go to a public school.
Yeah.
To raise, you know, the education bar at public schools.
Yeah.
I'm always of the opinion parents want their kids to go to private school, all good and well, but you pay for it yourself because there's a public system that's available. And I don't see the problem in the public system. I went through the public system. I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah.
I have no problem with people wanting to send their kids to private schools if they think that's best for their future and their academic results. But you want to do that, you pay for it. It shouldn't be on taxpayers to pay that for you.
Yeah.
In any way. So, but my opinion aside, that's what it was. And that's what it became in 1962. He also put a lot of additional funding in for science. The science really wasn't big, like it was.
Oh, so he's there. The fucker that made me have to do all these science exams about.
Yep.
Fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get a job now because I know how to make a nucleus into an iron atom.
Or there you some go. Shit like that. See, you can go and work in it. You could go and work in some sort of Soviet Russia nuclear power station.
Wow.
Just don't blow it up. And on top of that, he also put forward a lot of funds and stuff for scholarships, which is good. Scholarships are good. A lot of kids can't afford to go and do further education, so scholarships are good because it can give them funds to help, you know, keep them going, getting them through school.
Yeah.
In 1966, so end of 65, start of 66, Menzies had enough. He was getting quite old, getting into his 70s.
Jeez.
He'd had enough. So on the 20th of January 1966, he resigned as Prime Minister.
He could have kept going.
Oh, he could have, yes. But he retired because he'd been Prime Minister for 17 years.
Jesus.
So most kids, if they were like, you know, 3 or 4, would have grown up and become young adults with the one Prime Minister.
Yeah.
With just Menzies.
I've had like how many in my lifetime? I would have had like 3.
Oh, like yeah, probably 3. And that there in itself is why, you know, you have a generation of people who have very big anti-communist views, who have quite strong liberal political views and stuff like that, because their entire time growing up as a young adult and even becoming an adult was under one liberal leader.
Yeah.
So when you've got that, the culture of the nation starts to align with that. After 17 years, they would start to align with that. So, you know, that's why there's a, I guess, that directed that generation.
It seems, you know, like it was
like those good. Those boomers, those baby boomers type thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got to be a freaking pretty solid person to do 17 years.
Yeah. You know, all the other times they've been kicked out for the most random shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, fucking some dudes just decided he couldn't do it after 7 days.
There's another that went on a trip to somewhere. Yeah, and then he came back and everyone fucking hated him.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, you know, I'm surprised one dude just didn't go fishing on the weekend and came back and didn't have a job anymore. That's what it was like at one point.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you weren't here yesterday. Oh, if I can go then. So it was a very big achievement.
Is it the longest so far?
Longest so far, yeah.
Of all time?
Don't know if of all time. Probably not of all time, because if you take his first term and that term, it's 19 years.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, he might be close, but there was nothing mentioned saying it was longest serving.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out as we go along. He went on to live to the age of 83.
Yeah.
Dying from a heart attack in 1978.
It's pretty solid, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He, you know, in the years after he's being Prime Minister, he got his knighthood and stuff like that, as quite a lot of them do.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of recent ones haven't, but that's their own fucking problem. He got his knighthood, all those types of stuff. So quite an accomplished time. And realistically, you know, led the country through quite a lot of that Cold War era.
Yeah.
Which was a really difficult time, because aside from Korea, there really wasn't actual war. It was just all background shit.
Oh, there's spies and submarines and
yeah.
The Chinese fishing in our areas.
Yeah, yeah, like Chinese trawlers got nukes on it and stuff like that. That's shit hit a diesel boat. Yeah, it's just like there was a lot of speculation, but that is the accomplished career of one Sir Robert Menzies.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that takes us to the later 60s.
That will take us to 66.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we move to, I think, Harold Holt.
Oh, yeah.
He's up next, which I don't think goes for very long, sadly. But anyway.
We've been learning about now, about, like, in history, the, like, Aboriginal, like, rights and that type of stuff.
Yep.
So I've learned a bit more about some Prime Ministers after World War II.
Yeah.
So it's still somehow almost in line with...
It's still almost in line.
...this podcast.
Somehow. Even with the missed weeks in there. Yeah, yeah. And some of the Aboriginal rights start to become a thing. You know, after they get the right to vote and stuff like that, it sort of starts to change their voice.
Yeah.
And it starts to change what happens. But anyway, we will get to that next week. You have anything else?
I'm not sure.
No.
My mullet has been going pretty well.
Is that that's your proud defining moment, is your mullet is going well?
Yeah, it's like, actually, you can tell that there's hair there. It's not just, mm-hmm, you got something on the back of your head now. It's like, oh, there's something, yep, actually on the back of your head.
You've actually got something on your head. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you'll be fine in, what, 6 weeks' time, 7 weeks' time?
Yeah.
You'll have more of a defined mullet.
Yeah.
He'll definitely fit in as a mechanic.
Yeah.
You'll have something to pad the back of your head when you're lying on the concrete changing an oil in someone's Hyundai.
Yeah. I'll be repairing my friend's Kia Sentara.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Although the cars they got there, I think you'd be working on better cars.
Hopefully,
Some of the cars they got there are pretty cool.
Seen Porsches and stuff, and I've seen, you know, Falcons and Commodores and all sorts of things.
No, you'll just have to get into the growing for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Listen to lots of AC/DC or something. Yeah, that'll help. That'll help the mullet come out.
Yeah.
Nothing else that will. Listen to the Bon Scott era, because he had a mullet.
Yeah. I like the song Big Balls.
Yeah.
Is it called that?
Yeah. No, it's called Big Balls. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably my favorite AC/DC song.
Song dedicated to balls.
Yeah.
Mm.
Big balls, and
yep,
everyone's got big balls.
Yeah, yeah. It was a time when there was lots of balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dead. Everyone had them.
Yeah, everyone was just dancing, having a good time.
Yep.
I love balls so much.
Yep. Yep. They were swinging balls too. Like that. There's a lot of.
I've got some good balls.
Yeah. Well. No. The song may be about that too. It's AC/DC and it's Bon Scott. No song's actually about one thing. It's always about three or four things, and none of them particularly appropriate.
Yeah.
And I think when that song came out, everyone knew it wasn't about like balls where people like dance around inside a big fucking hall and stuff like that.
It's pretty funny. And then, then is the second guy, I don't know his name, the one that wears the flat cap, is he?
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson. Is he American?
No.
Or is he?
I think he's Scottish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was he like raised in Australia, or is he just fully Scottish? And then
fully Scottish. So by the time Brian Johnson come along, Australia really wasn't AC/DC really wasn't an Australian band anymore.
Yeah.
When they were formed, they were, I think freaking Bon Scott wasn't born in Australia.
No.
They were formed in Australia, but by the time they got that point, they'd really become an international band. I think they were like in the UK at that point in time.
Yeah.
And he was singing with another band. That's where they came across him.
They're pretty big in America as well, kind of, I think.
Oh, they've been around for so long now. They're
big everywhere.
They're big everywhere. They're a global sensation like those bands of that era sort of became.
Yeah.
They're sort of not quite so much now. Yeah. I mean, my SoundCloud's a global phenomenon. I had one person listen from Norway.
Norway? Wow.
Yeah. They listened to one of my heavier songs, which is natural because that's Norway. and I think maybe another person from the Philippines.
The Philippines, huh?
Or something, and some Americans and stuff. I get about 4 listens.
Wow, but it's pretty... Yeah. Well, what about Australians?
I think 2. It fluctuates sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I post the song on Facebook, I think I get a few more Australians. I think that's just because people I know listen to it.
Yeah.
If I post it on some other streams, it's more sort of US, small parts of sort of Asia here and there, and Europe.
Yeah.
But it's very hit and miss. Like SoundCloud is incredibly hit and miss. And I think you really have to pray for the pro version to actually get anything good out of it, which I may do later in the year.
Yeah.
Because I'll end up running out of space on the free version.
Oh.
But once I do the pro version, I can actually put my music on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what? So you put it on SoundCloud and it goes to Spotify?
Yeah, it will do. It doesn't at the moment.
Yeah.
But once I get the pro account set up, then it...
I know there are in some sort of club dot thing. I don't know it worked that way.
Yeah, yeah. They are, but you have to pay for it. So you can do it without it. You can go and get a Spotify artist account created. But you've got all these fucking checks and things you got to do, and it's quality shit. But if you go to SoundCloud and you pay like $140 for the year, you only do none of that.
Yeah.
And it just syncs it through.
Yeah.
So that I would be doing that at some point.
Yeah. And I reckon you might get a few more listens on there.
A few more listens, and it allows the songs to be monetized. Like I'll get royalties from what's played on SoundCloud and what's played on Spotify.
Yeah, and then that lets you get $10 off the yearly payment.
Yeah, yeah. Like it'll mean like I'll be able to afford an extra cup of coffee every 6 months.
Yeah, Spotify really doesn't pay well.
No, it doesn't. But the US, I think it's the US, are currently putting through legislation to increase royalties.
Yeah.
For songwriters. So they're looking to get a royalty increase.
Yeah.
Which will have a flow-on effect, then you'll pay more for your Spotify. But yeah, the irony will be is we have a family account and I'll pay for Spotify and then I'll get paid like 5 cents a year from Spotify for my music.
So you're getting paid from Spotify. And then also paying Spotify.
Yeah.
And also paying SoundCloud again, and paid by SoundCloud.
Yep.
Jeez.
It's how business works. That's how most businesses work.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll pay you, but you give me money back for something.
Confusing.
Yeah. That's business strategy. Anyway, that's, I don't know where we went down that path. But anyway, that's where we are. I really don't have anything else.
Yep.
So I think that's enough rambling at the end of the normal episode.
And before I start talking about cars or something.
Before he starts talking about fucking Barras or something, we'll call it there and we'll see what we come up with next week. Cool. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. See ya.